This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Lim Soo Ann this afternoon. So before the break, we were talking about an upcoming benefit concert that's happening this weekend, Musicians for Musicians, which aims to, well, it's a coming together of 30 music acts, local music acts from the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And the aim of the concert is to raise funds for struggling musicians in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And now on to our second story.
So if you look at the latest update on COVID-19 in Malaysia, that has us at 99 cases, with 6 new cases reported yesterday that are linked to the current cluster. Mm. And right now, we don't have a minister at the helm of the health ministry, which means that the Director General, Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah, has become the face of the national outbreak response. But earlier this morning, we did read the news reports that the Prime Minister's office has released a statement. It says that Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin will unveil his cabinet at 5 p.m. today. So for now, we still don't have a health
we
minister.
We don't have one yet.
But we will be waiting to see who will fill that post at 5 p.m.
So, I mean, the thing is, with the Director General's many years of service and experience, there is no real concern about the lack of a leader as such, right? However, a Director General is a civil servant, albeit he's the one at the most senior level.
That's right.
Because of that, there are many duties and functions that are beyond his responsibilities. So that's why the ultimate leadership role is the minister. And the minister's role is to formulate policies, plan and implement programs for the ministry. But more than that, the minister is the person that the public looks to for reassurance. So he has to be a figure that embodies trust in our public health system. We also hold the minister to a greater accountability as he's an elected public official.
Yeah, and since the swearing in of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as Prime Minister just a little over a week ago, you know, we've said we don't have a cabinet, so which means we don't have a health minister. And this has raised many questions, including whether the new Prime Minister places the response and management of the ongoing COVID-19 outbreak as a matter of the highest priority.
Mm. So the World Health Organization has already repeatedly urged governments to be prepared in the event that COVID-19 turns into a pandemic. So this will require governments to activate emergency plans within all sectors, not just health, but also security, diplomacy, finance, commerce, transport, trade, information, and a whole whole other bunch of things that are really important. So within the Ministry of Health, there's a need to increase testing capacity, prepare hospitals for more cases, what else, to ensure essential supplies are available, and to train healthcare workers.
And in the multi-ministerial response to the outbreak, a health minister will have the political authority to ask for more resources from the federal government. And this is to ensure that our critical frontline and supporting services are equipped with the funding, manpower and supplies that they need.
So the absence of a minister in the driver's seat does beg the question, with the DG's attention fully focused on the outbreak response, is there enough attention being paid to other national health matters? And considering that the Ministry of Health plays multiple roles in our health system, provider, regulator and funder of health services, the DG already has this behemoth task of overseeing the operations and implementing the ministry's policies and reform agenda.
Yeah, so in the meantime, there are some who point to Belgium as an example that a country does not need a government to continue with business as usual. if you look at from 2010 to 2011, Belgium's political crisis saw the country going for 541 days without a government. And then it happened again through the whole of 2019, that's last year, when then Prime Minister Charles Michel quit his coalition in December 2018. But then, just because Belgium can do it, does that mean should Malaysia do it too? So in these times, should we be contented with business as usual? So let's turn to public policy specialist, Dr. Kaur Swee King, who's on the line right now. Dr. Kaur, why is the health minister of such urgent priority for a new government?
Malaysia urgently needs a health minister right now for two big reasons. The first one is obviously the COVID-19 outbreak that's currently ongoing. So we need a health minister to help us run the outbreak responses. We also need a health minister right now because regular healthcare needs to be delivered on a routine basis to 32 million Malaysians, all of whom may have diabetes, they may have pregnancies, awaiting childbirth, and they may require cancer care, and therefore we need a health minister to helm all these activities. There are a couple more reasons that we need a health minister right now, and this has to do with the way the Perikatan National Government has come into power. Public confidence is important during any periods of outbreaks, and the health minister is often a figurehead that derives ultimate responsibility in ensuring the health of all Malaysians. There could be an issue of legitimacy as well, especially for a new government. An ongoing outbreak is definitely the test of Perikatan Nasional's legitimacy and capacity to govern, and a health minister would definitely help the confidence and the legitimacy of this government. It's also important to note that without a health minister, the technocracy of the Ministry of Health continues to function, and therefore, although there is a bit of an urgent need, we shouldn't really rush into it. We must really wait for the right candidate.
Well, yes, the ministry's machinery runs efficiently regardless of who is at the helm, but beyond the civil service, what is the role of the minister?
I've written about this as well, where I've described that the MOH technocracy, or the Ministry of Health technocracy, a united health fraternity in Malaysia, and the relative independence of health from politics are three important reasons why we might not even need a health minister. But to answer your question more directly, beyond the civil service, the health minister has several very important roles. The first one is that she is supposed to implement the effectiveness and the efficiency of the entire health ministry. Secondly, beyond the simple civil service, the minister is responsible for lawmaking, for example, the laws and regulations surrounding the smoking ban. Thirdly, the health minister is also responsible for budget allocations, also not only acquiring the appropriate budget for the Ministry of Health, but also determining the allocations of it. In more mundane matters, the health minister is responsible for appointments and other legal duties. And finally, in an ideal situation, the health minister will provide political space for the health agenda to be higher on the political agenda. The health minister actually has many more roles beyond just the supervision of the civil service.
So what kind of background and skills should the new minister have?
Up till today, Malaysia has had 20 health ministers. When I look through the profiles of all of them, it appears that there were only two criteria to decide for who becomes a health minister. The first one is, you are a party leader in a component party in the coalition in power, for example, Barisan Nasional or Pakatan Harapan. And secondly, you are more likely than others to have a science background, health background, or a medical background. This appears to be the only two criteria for discerning or determining the Minister of Health. But I'll posit to you that we may need two types of ministers. The minister for right now, during the outbreak, and the minister for after the outbreak. The minister for during the outbreak, let me call this the emergency minister or an interim minister, will probably need skills in crisis management, an ability to unite the professions, like in the health sector, and also calmness and the strength to make very difficult decisions of resource allocations, and, well, difficult decisions when it comes to outbreak situations as well. So perhaps the interim minister will need a skill mix that is largely crisis management related. But after the outbreak is over, in the long term, the health minister will probably need a systems building skill set. This means that the health minister is not only involved in the daily politics, but rather invested in building the institutions and the systems that are necessary to make Malaysia more resilient towards future outbreaks, to make Malaysia's healthcare more equitable, responsive, effective, and efficient as well. In a previous article that I have written, I proposed the idea of a results-driven, non-partisan, non-political, indeed a non-politician to become the Minister of Health in Malaysia. Obviously, we need the minister to be clean and non-corrupt, and I think these are basic requirements. But on top of that, I think a results-driven, non-partisan, non-political and technocratic approach will be crucial for the health ministry, mostly because health is very scientific, very results-oriented, very evidence-driven. And there are many life and death decisions, and we simply cannot leave this to a career politician.
So what lessons should the new government learn from the previous administrations with regard to the health portfolio?
The current government can learn several lessons with regards to the health portfolio from previous administrations. I offer two thoughts at the moment. The first one is about the lesson of continuity. Previous health ministers have held these posts for only an average of 3.3 years. That is a really short time. In fact, many of us don't even change jobs that often, especially when we're considering a large ministry of 270,000 people and 30 billion ringgit in costs per year. We cannot learn the system in such a short period of time and then hope to reform it. Taiwan and Thailand are considered to have great health systems, but they took 15 to 20 years in order to reform their systems. 3.3 years is simply too little for any health minister to learn the job in order to reform the system, given that the health ministry is a gargantuan system that requires a lot of time for us to understand. So first big lesson for Perikatan Nasional is to consider the lesson of continuity. The second lesson for the current Perikatan National Government is to consider depoliticizing health. What I mean to say is, the appointment of the ministers of health should be decoupled from coalition politics considerations or party politics considerations or the considerations of making the correct party leader happy. The health of the rakyat is far too important to be left to political considerations. Therefore, if you depoliticize health and decouple the appointment of health ministers from coalition politics, party politics, perhaps even election cycles as we consider it, and select the best non-partisan, technocratic, results-driven person who can deliver the health that's needed by Malaysians in an apolitical way, that will be a great lesson for Perikatan Nasional to adopt as they consider the appointment of the new health minister. In short, two lessons. The first one's continuity, and the second one is depoliticizing health.
Thank you for speaking to us, Dr. Kaur. That was Dr. Kaur Swee King, Public Policy Specialist. So he will be on air again at 4 p.m. today. And that's for the fifth episode of Health, the Nuts and Bolts series, where he will be discussing the role of hospitals in the health system.
And with Tan Sri Muhyiddin expected to announce the cabinet lineup this evening, all that's left to do right now is to hope that ministerial positions, aren't going to be used as political capital, as they often have been in the past. I must say, I do like the idea, I'm inclined to lean towards the idea of appointing people who are experts in the field rather than career politicians, especially for a portfolio like health, I think.
I mean, we have seen examples of this in other countries, right? Though not necessarily for health. Indonesia's new cabinet appointed late last year saw inclusions like co-founder of Gojek, the ride-hailing company. They appointed Nadiem Makarim as Education and Cultural Affairs Minister, also appointed television veteran Vishnu Tama as Tourism Minister. Iraq's Prime Minister designate Muhammad Alawi has attempted to appoint a cabinet of independent technocrat ministers, but of course his attempts have been blocked by Parliament, so Alawi has just withdrawn his candidacy for the post last week. And he's not the first to have tried, so previous Iraqi PMs have also tried to fill the cabinet post with independent ministers with rocky results. So I guess especially for health portfolio, it seems fitting because you do need a lot of experience, especially in the field of health, to know how to manage the healthcare system, to know what happens, what is needed so that the healthcare system runs. It doesn't sort of just runs and stops and runs and stops. You want a smooth machine that can handle incidents like the COVID-19 outbreak.
Yeah, and as Dr. Kaur said also, to ensure that element of continuity, there have been policies put in place that have been hugely beneficial for us. You know, I'm thinking just off the top of my head, like the smoking ban, for instance.
Yes.
And I would like to see things like that continued rather than be viewed as, because of legacy issues, to be viewed as previous administration versus, well, we're new, we're going to sweep out everything. Because that's something we've seen happen with, for instance, education portfolio. Every time there's a new minister, we see change in policies, we see change in approaches, and that's not to the benefit of the rakyat. And for something like health, I feel even more necessarily, there needs to be continuity.
Yes, because we are talking about the health of the Malaysian rakyat in the years and decades to come. So like the smoking ban, you won't see results now, but you will see, results in 10, 20 years to come. We've also received an anonymous WhatsApp on this topic. Speaking of the cabinet lineup, I'm starting to get the jitters. There's so much power struggle going on in our political scene right now that the biggest worry is that the ministerial positions would just be handed out to individuals just to appease them. So what the PM should do is appoint the person with the most knowledge and experience in a particular field, someone with a strong vision, even if said person is not a politician.
That seems to to echo what we've been talking about as well.
I think there's a lot to look out for, right? If Tan Sri Muhyiddin is going to announce the cabinet at 5 p.m. today, because people will be waiting to see who fills which post. And I think especially now with so many people concerned about COVID-19, there will be even more eyes on the health ministry portfolio.
Yeah, I also think that given the events of the last few weeks, there's a little bit of a uncertainty or loss of faith in career politicians. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think it might be reassuring to see people who are viewed as being more, less partisan, being appointed for posts like this, especially in the midst of of ongoing events like COVID, just to have some amount of confidence restored, I think.
And I think what people want now also is, I guess, that sense of stability, right? Because everything is so uncertain right now. You don't know if you should go out to the supermarket or not. You don't know if you should travel or not. Like, I think people just want some sort of reassurance that, you know, at least something is being done.
That someone's in charge, yes, and things are being handled.
And I think, I guess, the health DG has done a good job at that. But it goes back to what Dr. Kaur was saying. The health, I mean, and I guess what we were saying earlier, the health DG is probably swamped by all of this, everything that's happening right now.
Yeah. So all that's left to do, I suppose, is to wait and see. At 5 p.m. today, we'll have more answers, not just for the health portfolio, of course, also for the other cabinet positions. Mm-hmm. So we will continue to be reporting on that. So stay tuned to us here. You can, of course, continue to share your thoughts with us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. That is all the time we have for today's show on The Daily Digest. You can look us up on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. right after this on Earth Matters, we're revisiting an interview with Dr. Gillian Uy, who is a marine ecologist, on why seagrasses are a vital part of the marine ecosystem. That is coming up after the 3 o'clock news. We will leave you now with Shania Twain and You're Still the One on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.